Well, our next guest probably knows something about this. Whenever you're critical of a team, I'm sure that team's fan base comes after you and said, "Oh, Mark, you're always chirping the Bills. Why are you always against the Bills for?" Mark Schofield, our guest here on the People's Show. It happens all the time, doesn't it, Mark? Where you're critical of a team and people just jump on you for it.
It happens all the time. My favorite is when people accuse me of being a homer for, like, college football teams, and I have to remind people that, look, I played Division III college football in the States. Like, I don't have a favorite college football team. If I do, it's, like, Nebraska, but, like, really, you're going to call me a Nebraska homer? Okay. What's there to be proud about right now for Nebraska football? So, yeah, when I get those, or, oh, you know, you're just a hater, you hate Michigan. No, I don't – Wesleyan University is 1-0 all time against Michigan because we played them once in 1889 and they never came back. So maybe I do have something against Michigan. How about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just surprised you didn't start talking about being a Patriots homer.
I mean, I see, the thing is, I admit to that. Like, I will openly write pieces where I'm just like I picked in our USA Today, you know, predictions piece before the season started. I changed it at the end. I had the Dolphins get it into the playoffs, but I switched it out. I put the Patriots in, and I said, look, this is an unabashedly homer selection. Like, I'm going to not even apologize for it. I want to be able to go back to the Boston area over the holidays and see some old friends, and I have to be able to show my face. And if I don't make this selection, I might not be able to do that. So, yeah, I'll own up to it. But, you know, I try not to be an unabashed homer, but every once in a while it peeps out.
Okay, let's stay on the Patriots for a second, though. Mac Jones, his debut, week one. They end up taking the loss there, but what did you think of the rookie's game, Mark?
I thought he played well. I thought he did some things in that offense where you could see the sort of knowledge that he has of the system. He's already got a good, I don't want to say a mastery of the offense, but he's got a good feel for it. He was using his eyes, using ball fakes, little shoulder moves to manipulate defenders out of position. You know, so he did some things I think were really good to see. There was a lot after the game. There were a lot of, you know, former friends, you know, current friends, family members saying, oh, he was checking everything down. He was so conservative. You know, you rewatch the game, you rewatch it on the All-22, and he didn't have a lot of opportunities downfield. There wasn't a lot down there for him to target. It wasn't a situation where you have guys running free in the secondary. He's just not throwing it. Miami's defense is good. You know, there was a play where, you know, he had Jacoby Myers on a crossing route, and he thought he could put touch on it, a little air under it. And he has to learn that, you know, not all his receivers are Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith or John Michi who are going to run 4.3 or 4.2 at the combine. Like, those NFL guys in the secondary, they can close ground. And so he tries to put air under this throw. Jason McCourty breaks on it, breaks it up. It could have been a big play. It goes for an incompletion. That's something he'll have to learn. He'll have to, you know, dial up the velocity there. You know, but look, I think he played well, and he had that team on the 11-yard line going in down by one for a chance to at least kick a go-ahead field goal. And I think if you would have told Patriots, look, if you would have told Patriots fans, you will have the ball 3 minutes left at their 11-yard line with a chance to kick the go-ahead field goal, how would you feel taking that? And they'd take it in a heartbeat. And so I think overall, there was a lot of good stuff that Mac Jones did. There were some learning lessons for sure. But I think the biggest thing was after the game, he said, we all have to get better. You know, he put a lot on himself saying, I have to expect more from people. I have to be tougher on people. I have to expect more from myself. We saw the clip. He throws his first touchdown pass, doesn't want the football because he's like, the game's not over. We haven't won anything yet. He's endeared himself to Patriots fans already, both with his play and with how he's approaching life as a quarterback in the NFL.
So I know everybody's kind of talking about the rookie quarterbacks, but I want to go to a guy who was recently a rookie coming off a big time injury. It's Joe Burrow. And I was, yeah, the thing I like about Burrow is he's kind of different from some of these other young hotshots, Mark, in that he doesn't necessarily have the same arm talent, arm strength that maybe we see some of these other young quarterbacks have. But I am still coming away really impressed with how he played in week one against Minnesota.
I was extremely impressed with how he played, too. And I think what might be most impressive about that is that play call in overtime, the fourth and one, where Minnesota sells out on the run and he drops the throw, to find out after the game that that was his call. Mm-hmm. Zach Taylor believes enough in his young quarterback to give him the freedom at the line of scrimmage to say, look, you know, get there, maybe you make the call. You know, it's that check with me moment. You know, he checked to a pass play. He didn't like the look that they were getting from the defense. He thought he'd have an opportunity to make a big play in the passing game, and that's what he did. The fact that you have a second-year quarterback who missed a lot of last year with an injury, you're giving him the freedom to do that. I think that speaks volumes about Joe Burrow as a quarterback. What I was also perhaps more impressed with how beyond how he played, when he took to the podium after the game, right after his teammate Jamar Chase, and we just spent all summer hearing about Chase and drops and everything. Chase catches the touchdown. Joe Burrow sits down, and before anybody asks him a question, he says, I thought this guy was dropping everything. Just deadpan, threw it right back at everybody. And whatever you want to say about Joe Burrow, if you're Jamar Chase, if you're T. Higgins, if you're somebody else on that offense, to see your quarterback go to bat for his teammate like that, that's a leader. That's somebody that these guys are going to want to play for. These guys are going to want to follow. These guys are going to walk off a cliff for. And all the arm talent and the athleticism, yeah, that matters. But quarterback's also a leadership position. And Joe Burrow is demonstrating that too. So on the field, off the field, in the locker room, this was a very impressive week from Joe Burrow. I was so happy to see it because he's coming back from the injury. I was so excited about the way he started last year. I thought this was a great performance from him.
What do you make of Jameis?
I am all in. I am absolutely
let's go.
All
let's do it. Yeah.
I was cautiously optimistic, and I remember talking to you guys about it and saying, look, he looked great against Jacksonville. It's great that he won the job. I want to see him, you know, secondary reads under pressure, that, you know, because everything he had in preseason, that game against Jacksonville where he looked great, it was all his first read, right? First read's open, I can throw the ball. A lot of quarterbacks can look good when that's the kind of situation you're playing in. But show me what happens when the pocket breaks down. Show me what happens when there's nothing there in the secondary. Show me what happens when you've got to work through pressure in the pocket and get to your second or third read. The touchdown to Chris Hogan, that was that kind of moment. First read wasn't there. Pocket's breaking down. Has to get to his third read on the play and throws a touchdown. That's the kind of stuff I wanted to see from Jameis. But beyond that, you guys are going to ask me about my favorite throw of the week. And it's taken every bit of strength I have not to say that my favorite throw of the week was a throwaway. But that was what Jameis Winston did. There was a play on Sunday where there was nothing there. He was looking, and he simply threw the ball away. And in years past, Jameis Winston would have said, you know what? Mike Evans is down there somewhere. I'm going to throw it. You know, maybe he would have said, you know, Callaway is down there somewhere on Sunday. I'm just going to throw it anyway, and it goes for an interception. And suddenly what looked like a great game from Jameis Winston starts to spiral out of control. The maturity on that play to just throw the ball away, and it's such a simple thing. But to see that from Winston, that was great to see. So, yeah, I'm all in. I am so excited to see Jameis Winston play this well in week one. I want to see it continue. They've got some tough defenses coming up. It's not always going to be easy, but I was very excited to see this from Jameis Winston.
You know, you mentioned that play. I think he actually, when he talked to Peter King after the game and said that was his favorite throw of the game, the one that he threw away.
That's the Jameis we haven't seen. I mean, in the Jameis of years past, like I said, he would have said, you know what? I'm going to fit this into some tight window with three defenders draped on Nick O'Leary. That's who he would always do it in Florida State or Mike Evans in Tampa Bay. He simply threw the ball away. And something tells me Sean Payton on the grading sheet after that game, that play might have gotten the best grade from Sean Payton as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of people filling out their Coach of the Year ballots already for Sean Payton after 1 week based on some of the action that Jameis Winston had this weekend. That was the good. Let's head over to the bad a little bit now. Josh Allen against the Steelers threw the ball 50 times, only 270 yards. What do you make about that effort against a very good defense? But our expectations for Josh Allen are higher now.
Well, they're absolutely higher. They should be after the year he had last year. And this was kind of the thing that I was worried about. You know, a lot of people were saying, you know, the regression word, he's going to, you know, come back to earth, whatever you want to say about Josh Allen, you know, sort of taking a step back from the near MVP season he had a year ago. My concern, what I wanted to see was, okay, you go up against a defense that maybe figures you out, that maybe throws something at you, a zone coverage scheme or a man coverage scheme. You know, you don't take a couple of weeks to figure it out. You figure it out in the course of a game. That didn't happen. It didn't quite happen. Now, maybe they have a bounce-back performance this week. You know, hopefully we see that. I think they play Miami. They saw a lot of man coverage. He had a lot of success against Miami last year, and so maybe he does. But I wanted to see Josh Allen, Brian Daboll, be able to figure these things out as they went. Now, Pittsburgh has the sort of recipe, or at least they did on Sunday, for success in today's NFL, right? They get pressure with four up front, drop seven into coverage. You can take away throwing lanes. You make life tough on the quarterback. You move him around. You pressure him. You get him off the spot. They had success doing that. Not many teams will be able to do that in today's NFL. So it won't always be as hard as it was on Sunday. But for where our expectations are with Josh Allen, we expected him to come out and say, okay, you're going to do that. I'll find a way. I'll hit guys that are open. I'll find soft spots in that zone coverage when you're dropping seven. When you play man, I'm going to take advantage of those situations. He didn't do that on Sunday. And we expected the Josh Allen we saw last year to be able to figure that stuff out quickly. He didn't do it. And so now we see, okay, last year it was like a three or four game stretch where he had to sort of figure things out. Now let's at least get it down to 1 week, bounce back with a strong performance against Miami.
Throw of the week, what is it?
Like I said, I really wanted to go with Jameis. I mean, I think the prettiest one, Kyler Murray, that like bucket shot, that rainbow that he had to Christian Kirk on that corner route where he like made a fadeaway throw with a guy on his feet. It's like 55 yards and it's like a rainbow. That was a really good throw, but I don't know how often guys will get a chance to talk about this team and this quarterback, so I'm going to do it. Tyrod Taylor and the Houston Texans. I did not see the Houston Texans win in this game, and you know I thought they were going to struggle, but Tyrod Taylor looked great. They have a great game against Jacksonville, and he had a throw deep out route off of play action. Just it's a Brandon Cooks where they're showing the post route, and then he breaks out towards the sideline, threw it in an absolute shoebox. Right along the sideline, you get the toe tap from Brandon Cooks. It was absolutely gorgeous. You couldn't do it any better. And so I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity to mention some Tyrod Taylor, talk up Tyrod, who I've always had a soft spot for. I don't know if we'll get back to Tyrod Taylor and the Houston Texans in the next couple of weeks. So here in week one, Tyrod Taylor, my throw of the week.
I mean, we were always waiting for a Justin Herbert throw, but Tyrod, I love it. Now, before we let you go, Mark, the other part of what we always ask you when NFL season begins, which quarterback matchup are you most excited about for week two in the NFL?
Yeah, and look, I'm very intrigued, I will say. You get Zach Wilson, you get Mac Jones. That's going to be fun to watch because we saw Mac Jones versus Tua last week. Now we're going to get Mac Jones in another AFC East sort of showdown. So that's one I'm very sort of excited to see. I'm oddly intrigued, guys. We get Taylor Heineke on Thursday Night Football. I've always had a soft spot for Taylor Heineke, so I'm excited to see that. But I think the one game that I'm really, really excited to see from sort of a quarterback in perspective is that game. You mentioned them, the Chargers, 4:25 Eastern. Dak Prescott, who looked great Thursday night. Justin Herbert, who I really like the way he played against Washington. Those are two of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. And so, you know, when we get into that late day window on Sunday, that's the game my eyes will be on, you know, when that one kicks off.
Mark, we always love it. We'll talk next Tuesday. Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great night.